And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 4. There's a couple of different passages. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be up on the screens up above as well. I do want one other quick announcement just to make sure that you're aware of this. Coming up normally in September, we kick off our life groups. And if you're interested in being part of maybe leading one of those, or maybe you have an idea of something you'd like to be a part of, Pastor Morgan will be available at the end of our service today. But we would love to include you. We help equip and train and prepare you for that. But we do believe that there is a significant purpose and meaning and a significance to our life groups, that we don't want to do life alone. And so those will be coming up. You'll hear more about that as well. So, all right, are you happy? Come on, just smile. All right, you just make me feel better when you do that. Hey, we kicked off last month a series that we're going to have still a couple more weeks. And because of our I Serve Sunday as well as our Family Fest, they're not concurrent or successive Sundays, but they are available online through our website, our podcast. But the love God, love people, and change the world. And we've been using as a premise that book, A Bless, and we have a few, I think, available at the end of our service if you still want to get one of those. But this idea of how we can really change the world, how we can live the mission of Jesus about truly loving God and loving people around us. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be very practical on the how we're going to do that. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the why we do that. But we kicked off a couple of weeks ago about that understanding of living on purpose. And in the very beginning, out of Genesis, we see this story and see this phrase or terminology where God speaks to a guy named Abram, who becomes Abraham, and he says, I'm going to bless you to what? To be a what? A blessing. All right, thank you for the one voice there. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. All right, let's just practice. I'm going to bless you to be a thank you very much. Very good. So this idea that's carried throughout Scripture that God wants to do things in our life so that we can be a blessing to others. In fact, we'll talk a little bit about that today as well, that there's this assignment that we all get to step into and we get to fulfill. And so throughout Scripture that God doesn't just bless us to be inward or keeping things to ourselves, but that somehow that we can touch others that are around us. And the idea was from the beginning, it says, as you go. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus will teach us the principle about the great commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That premise of loving or of caring or of blessing. And the idea that as you go, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I will be with you. So the promise is when we fulfill that as we go, that he does something bigger, greater than we even know or we realize. And so we talked about that the first couple of weeks. And so in this today, the idea of blessing our neighbor and understanding your neighbor isn't necessarily only your physical neighbor. It could be people in close proximity looking around you. They would be classified neighbors right now because they're close to you. Wake them up right now. So the idea or the understanding that we want to live the Jesus mission about blessing people and changing the world, loving God, loving people, and changing the world. In fact, as we walk through this the next couple of weeks, you'll understand it's not some extra burden. It's actually just how do we live it on purpose or with intention on that. And so here's what I was referring to just a few moments ago, John chapter 4. So we get to carry this message. We get to walk this journey with Jesus, the Jesus mission about loving God and loving people and seeing God change the world. We don't do that, but he does that. But there's a story that you've heard us share before, and many of you are familiar with it. And I'm only just take a part of it because I want you to capture the heart of what Jesus is saying. And so when we think about blessing people, you're going to see this in just a moment, that we see it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This principle today is about listening. Everyone say listening. Thank you. I'm just making sure you were listening. All right. So today, the first week was the B, B-L-E-S-S, for begin with prayer. And today's going to be the L, which is about listening to God and listening to those that are around us, having a hearing ear. I know that on occasion, it's a very rare occasion, right, Julie? She doesn't know what I'm going to say. Just say yes. Yeah. So on a very rare occasion, I might hear from the lips of my wife, "Are you even listening to me? Come on, somebody." All right. So very rare, right? or the one that's more is like, you know, I've said this 5 times. I'm like, it's not 5. It's maybe 4. But anyways, but in the kingdom of God, there's this opportunity that we have to follow in the footsteps of what Jesus did, and this idea about listening to people. But we get to do this with purpose. And in John chapter 4, there's a story about the what we call the Samaritan woman, and that's a geographical assignment, but it's also the culture of who she would identify. And she's thirsty and she's going to a well. Jesus happens to show up at that well, and he has this dialogue with her. And in John chapter 4, and I'm just going to read parts of this. We're not going to dive into this whole passage, but again, just understanding this idea of the heart of Jesus about listening to people, but also the promise that he gives. So in John chapter 4, it says that he had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And there's a lot more to this, and I'm going to just really want to hit on verse 10 and verse 13 and 14, but for context for you. Verse 7, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Hey, please give me a drink." And he was alone at that time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. So he was hungry and thirsty. And this woman, verse 9, surprised because Jesus is crossing divides. This is just how Jesus rolls. He's crossing in this conversation and in this context, and we won't unwrap all of this, but just understand in this, he's crossing a religious divide because of her faith versus his, a cultural divide because of the stigmatism of the two different nations, and a racial divide. So he is bridging things that in the natural people would avoid. Jesus is confronting. Jesus crosses those things that our society and that people want to create division, religious, cultural, racial, and Jesus breaks that wall down because for this very reason, because he loves people, because Jesus loves people, and he's crossing divides to reach people. And there's an opportunity as we bless people that we're going to cross divides, things that might in our society want to divide us, that really can unite us. It doesn't matter of background, cultural, racial, religious, whatever those things are, that our faith in Jesus breaks down those barriers, crosses those divides. And that's what's happening here with Jesus, that he's crossing this divide. He's doing something that would be uncomfortable for many. He's doing something that people would judge and begin to, like, how in the world could you do that? How could you talk to her? And how could you be friends with them? And all those things that Jesus is like, you know, I love people. Come on, somebody. Say, he loves people, right? That means he loves me. That means he loves you. That means he cares about the person that you're frustrated with, irritated with, mad at, don't like, whatever. Come on now. He loves them as much as he loves you. Live with it, all right? So somebody like, no way, I'm his favorite. Come on, somebody. No. He loves people. And so this series, this idea about being a blessing to others, because that's the heart of God, is to love people. And so in this passage, there's this opportunity that Jesus reaches out to her, and the woman realizes, man, this is not proper. And so in verse 9, the woman, surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans, she said to Jesus, "You're a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you talking to me, or why are you asking me for a drink?" Now, I'm reading this passage because of this context right here, that our lives about being a blessing can carry these words, this power that Jesus talks about. Jesus answers her. I get it. There's divides. There's things that should separate us. There's things that should mean that we shouldn't be on the same page. But Jesus replies, he says, if you only knew, come on, if you just had a clue, that's what he's really saying. Get a clue. If you just had a clue, if you just knew, and here's the word, the gift. That there's this gift that God has for people he loves. And he loves all people, and there's this gift. And God has for you this gift. He has it for you, and who you are speaking to, Jesus speaking to the woman, you would ask me, if you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and what? I would, what? Give. Everyone say give. And I would give you living water. If you knew the gift of God, church, there's a gift that we carry with us and in us. In fact, it's so powerful that he describes it as a gift twice, and it'll go on again in verse 14, and he'll talk about this gift. And what do you do when it comes to things, a gift? If I had a gift for you, and he talks about living water, not just something in the natural that will sustain you for a moment, but this living water that will be an abundance. In fact, in a moment, he's going to refer to it as this spring, something that just comes from within, and it just keeps flowing like a natural spring water that just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing. That's a life that you have. You can have living water. You can have something that satisfies your soul. Come on, somebody. Things that people search for, they're looking for, and everyone around us, they're looking for different things, and they think they can find it, whether it's in a career or in their finances or in a relationship or just in achievements or titles or whatever that might be, that they're looking for something to quench the thirst of their souls. And Jesus is helping us understand in this passage that there's just one thing. Now, what do you do if you have a gift? So does anyone like Red Bull? Sherry, you just shot your hand all the way up to here. I saw that. Who likes Red Bull? And I saw one hand go to here. I see one in the back there as well. Is that CJ? All right, so Sherry, I have a gift for you. And I'll even let you drink it in church. Some people prefer coffee, but a Red Bull. So I have a gift for you. What do you need to do to obtain the gift I have for you? Do what? Accept it or receive it. So God has this gift. Would you like this? All right, there. I'll come to you. No, don't. No, don't do anything. I'll do the work. I'm just kidding. There's this opportunity that Jesus describes as this gift. The gift of his presence, this gift of a relationship with him, this gift of salvation. This gift that I couldn't ever achieve or attain. I could never work hard enough. I could never be good enough. I could never achieve any of that. It's this gift. He's saying, I have something for you that it's by my grace. See, religion will tell you this. Religion would say, work harder, be good, follow the rules. And if you'll do that, then maybe you'll be good enough, and then maybe you can win God's favor, and maybe you can achieve that. But he's like, I have this gift. This gift that God has for you, that he's speaking to her, and he says, I would give you living water. But sir, you don't even have a rope or a bucket, she said, and the well's very deep. And he goes on, and he says this in verse 13, Jesus replies, anyone who drinks the water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give, what? Will never be thirsty again. It becomes fresh, bubbling springs within them, giving them eternal life. That he has this gift, that it's something that's alive. Is anyone thirsty? Someone want some water? Don't hit my wife with that. All right, thank you. I couldn't do all the work to walk to you, bro. I just had to get the gift of God. So God has a gift. And for many of you in this room, you've received that gift. And you've begun to, you said yes to Jesus. And there's others of you, maybe you're in this room and maybe you've said yes to Jesus, but it doesn't feel like living waters. Let me just pause here for a moment. That that your journey feels like a struggle and a weight. And even as worship, as Pastor Barry Lou was praying, that the idea of the freedom that we have, that there's living water for you. There's a life of joy, a life of peace, a life that's filled. And it's not just from cup to cup or Sunday to Sunday, but it says it's this abundance of living water and that will satisfy your soul. And all of us, there's this hunger and this thirst and this desire. And Jesus is helping her understand there's only one way that your life will feel fulfilled. And there's only one way that you can quench the thirsting of your soul. And that Red Bull, Sherry's gonna taste great and whenever you drink that. You shared it, nice. But it's in about 5 hours that Red Bull's gonna wear off. Come on, somebody, right? Is that what it is? 5 hour? No, that's 5 hour energy. I don't know. 6 hours, 7 hours, whatever it is. But you'll thirst again. You'll need energy again. The water, that it's going to be a point where there's going to be something more that you want. And what Jesus is saying, there's a thirsting to your soul. And I belabor this point because I want you to understand you have a thirst in your soul for something greater. In fact, Ecclesiastes talks about this idea that God's placed eternity in all of our hearts. And one theologian put it this way, that there's a God-shaped hole inside of all of us, that there's this longing for something more. And Jesus is expressing that there's this living water. And I want you to understand it because God has that for you. But in our series that we're in about blessing people, that he has that for people around you. And just like I came today prepared to bless you with water and Red Bull. Come on now. I should have bought one for everyone, but I didn't. So I know a lot of you are like, that's how we always roll. I didn't today. But the opportunity to take this living water that will quench your soul and think about your journey in your life, that the times where you felt empty or you felt abandoned, alone, and you know the promises of God, but the people that are around us, that same life is for them, and you carry it to others. And the picture for us, it's there's a phrase that you'll hear some churches talk about. It'll say, saved people save people. Or another way to say it is, found people find people. The mission of Jesus is that I get to experience something that quenches my soul, that gives me life, that I can continually have this living water. But the picture is that I don't keep it to myself. So we begin in prayer. That's what we talked about in week two, this idea. And the cool thing is when we talked about that at the end of the service, if you remember, I said, hey, write down, you know, one, two, or three people's names and don't do anything. Just start praying for them. Just start praying for God to open up a door or an opportunity that you can be the person that brings them living water, that you can be the person that brings them hope. You can be the person that maybe speaks life into their situation, that you can be the one. And the cool thing is that about a week after that, there's two different stories in our church of people that did just that. They had identified somebody, they had prayed about this person, and out of the blue, come on now, that person calls them. What? Like, that's like God stuff. Like, what? I'm praying for them, and I didn't reach out to them, and they called us, you know, that they reached out to us, but it gives us that opportunity. And so this idea of blessing is being the idea of giving others living water to quench their thirsty souls. That understanding that it's not how we earn it, but it's a gift from God, and we get to carry that and be somebody. And so this whole series is really about this idea that we hope that this will just be a kickstart for some of you, that there'll be people around you that you'll search for. In fact, Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost, that those that were far from him, people that were broken, people that were distant from him, people that that had found their life in ways they never dreamed it would be this way, and how come this happened? And maybe it was something that happened to them, or maybe it's choices that they made, but they find themselves in this pit or in this bondage or in this discouragement or depression. That he's like, I have living water for you, and I want my church to give that gift, to bring that gift, to share that gift with others. And so we get to do that. And so this series is really this idea for you and your family, your life, for Life Church, but also the kingdom of God, that we can live our lives in such a way that we can bring the message of Jesus to everyone around us. And so today, the principle of helping to bring life or quenching the soul is this idea of listening to people. The idea of not just listening, but hearing. You understand the difference of that. I can hear the noise, but am I listening to the words? And there's this journey or opportunity that we get as we begin in prayer, what we talked about last time. Part of that prayer wasn't just me talking to God, but it was what? Listening. That prayer is a dialogue and not a monologue. It's not just me telling God all the things that I need. It's this opportunity to have this relationship with him. And when it begins in prayer, it means that I also get to listen to him. And, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to, as I process the new role that I'll be serving in coming, full time in the end of October, with the president of Open Bible, the thing that I've discovered is this principle I'm trying to live now. This idea of listening, about hearing, about understanding, about knowing what's happening. And so as I try to connect with key leaders, all I'm doing right now is just listening to stories, understanding context, trying to listen and learn so that I can love and lead. That if I can learn this principle, if I can live this principle of listening and learning, it allows me to love people and to lead people. And it's the same principle for each of us, that if we'll learn to listen and we'll learn about people's story and what they're going, God's going to open up doors and opportunities for us to love them and to help lead them towards Jesus. And that's the ultimate plan of what we get to do, to bring living water. So as we listen and learn, we get to love and we get to lead. And we see this all throughout scripture, but the idea of hearing God and then listening to people. Let me just give you a couple models of how Jesus did this and how he lived this blessing principle. But Jesus modeled in incredible ways about loving people. Everyone he encountered, there was something that he did to be a blessing, something that he did to help them or to be a part of them. Some of them, maybe it was to challenge them. Others, it was to heal them. Others, it was listening for them. And we would see in Luke chapter 18, I won't take time to read through this. You can do this. But in Luke 18, chapter 35 through 43, it's just one of my favorite stories, a story about blind Bartimaeus. And you've heard me share about this, but Jesus is going through this town, and you have to think about, think about this parade. There's people everywhere. It's crowded. There's congestion in the streets, and Jesus is just trying to get through. And there's this guy that's sitting on the sidelines or on the sidewalk, the sidelines, whatever. And he can't see. And they tell him what's happening. They're like, it's Jesus is coming in. And he begins to say, oh, it's Jesus. I've heard about this Jesus. He has something. He has living water. He has something that can refresh my soul. And he begins to call out for Jesus. Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. I got to share a portion of this on Wednesday to our staff and our team, the 65 employees that we have here. They're here, and I got to share that Jesus asks a question, and he asks him, what can I do for you? The modern phrase of that is, how can I help you? How can I help? Well, he was blind, obviously, but what did Jesus do? He listened. He did what? He did what? Listen. He listened. He took a moment to listen and to wait and to respond. All the commotion, all the noise, one voice stops the King of Kings in his tracks and he listens. John chapter 5, there's this chaotic scene as well as by this pool of Bethesda. And there's a lame man there. And Jesus walks into the crowd and he sees this guy laying on his mat. And he asks him a question and he listens to him. He asks him, hey, you know, what would you like? And the man answers, well, you know, I'd like to walk. What would happen is the pool of Bethesda, when the waters were stirred, it was the first person in that there was this miraculous moment as the angels would stir the waters, that there would be healing. And you can read it in John chapter 5, and he gives Jesus a dialogue. You know, I really like this. You know, I'd like to be better. I'd like to experience this living water that I've heard about. But you know what? The reality of the situation is I can't get a breakthrough. You know, the reality of the situation is I'm still in the same circumstance. The reality of this is, and Jesus just listens to him. He's like, no one can pick me up and I don't get there in time and somebody else is always first. And what does it say? It says that Jesus just, what? He did what? He listens. And then if you know the story, he heals this lame man that in this chaotic scene that he takes a moment and he listens and he responds. And that's the opportunity in blessing people is that we get to listen and learn and we get to love and lead people towards Jesus. But we listen and we respond. There's action. Mark chapter 6, verses 7 and verse 30, there's a story about Jesus sending out his disciples in twos, and they go out and he gives them the authority to you know, cast out demons, to heal the sick, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And they go out, and when they come back, it says they come back to tell Jesus the stories. They are doing what? Jesus is doing what again? Come on now. Listening. And they begin to share about all the things that God accomplished through them. And Jesus responds to them that in the next verse, in verse 31, he's like, hey, you know what? Now's a good time. You did all this. Let's go to a place and rest. Come on, somebody. I love that word right there. You've listened. You've learned. You've led people. Now let's rest in the presence of God throughout Scripture. And there's so many more. The bottom line is this, that Jesus listens over and over. He'll ask questions and he'll flip the story around. And throughout the Gospels, we pay attention to the miracles and we see the signs and wonders, but you really get to know somebody, not by just what they say, come on now, but by what they do. So when you look at Jesus, it's not just what he said, it's how he lived. It's what he did. It's how he treated people. And as we look at this, it's not always the spectacular, and it's always not always the pomp and circumstance, but it's the ordinary day in and day out where just people listen and learn and love and lead. If I preach this sermon, that's my 4 points right there. Listen, learn, love, and lead. In fact, we're done. Amen. No, just a... So what would happen is that you see that throughout, and even in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 2, in fact, let me just read a couple just brief passages where you see the heart of God, and I want you to see that because it reflects the heart that we're to have as well. And in Exodus chapter 2, there's the story or this opportunity for God to intervene in the situation. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, and it says this, it says that they cried out in the verse right before for help, and their cries rose up to God. Verse 24, God heard, or he was listening. God heard their groanings, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time, come on, to act. He looks down and he realizes it's time to act. They're in this bondage. They're being made to be the Egyptian slaves. And he hears, he listens, and he responds. He listens to them and he responds. And in the next chapter, in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it goes on and says, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard. Everyone say heard. So he's listening. He's listening to you. He's listening to us. He's listening to those people that are searching for living water. He heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians. That this idea that he hears and he responds. He hears and he acts. He does something that allows people to experience living water. And he's using us to bless people so that they can experience that same living water. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 19, let me give you just a couple more things and we'll bring this home. This idea, there's this prophet named Elijah, and he has this incredible contest or confrontation with the prophet of Baals, and it hadn't rained in 3 years, and they have this big showdown, and he's like, let's see what God answers by fire, and after it's all said and done, they nothing happened when they called out the 450 prophets, but when Elijah did, fire comes down, consumes this altar, but then he starts being chased by the king, and he's running, and he's hiding. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, God's speaking to him. So he finds this cave and he's like, just saw this incredible outpouring of God, God's mighty hand working, that it was like incredible what happened. Now he's cowering in fear and discouragement and distress because the king was out to kill him. And so he's hiding in this cave. And in verse 11 of chapter 19 says, go out and stand before me. So God's speaking to him, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there. Now listen to this. The Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It's like God says, I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to refresh your soul here. I'm going to quench the desire of your heart. It says this windstorm hits, and it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. And here's Elijah standing on the edge of the rock, and the rocks are falling all around him. But the Lord was not in the wind. The next sentence says, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and he stood at the entrance, and the voice of God speaks to him. It's like all these things happened that God was wanting to reveal himself, to speak, to encourage, to bring living water. And the wind comes, an incredible shaking, and the rocks are falling apart. It's like, this has to be God. Yeah, look at this. This is not natural, supernatural, but God wasn't in that. And then there's this earthquake. It's like, it's got to be big. It's got to be powerful. It's got to be something significant. If it's from God, it's got to be like, it's got to shake the earth. God's in this. God wasn't in that. Then the next verse, it's like, and then the next thing, there was this fire that breaks out, and surely God was in the fire. In fact, if we took time and read the chapter 4, it was the fire that God, that fell, that it was God speaking to people. It was a fire burning in a bush that had called to Moses. Surely that's how God speaks, but no, God wasn't in that. And the next thing, it was this small, still voice. And Elijah hears the voice of God. And I think for us, this idea of listening to God is that we think it has to be something great or grand. We think it has to be something that's so big and so ominous and fearful, but it's the whisper of God. And I believe that today, that God just wants to whisper to some of your souls. He wants to refresh your soul, that you won't walk out of this worship center this morning the same weights or the same concerns or the same frustrations, that the whisper of God, the understanding, the direction of God that wants to fill your soul is also what he wants us to do. That it doesn't have to be something great or grand. You don't have to be a whirlwind or an earthquake or a fire. But you could be a listening ear to somebody whose soul is thirsty for something more. I'm not gonna, I mean, you're smart enough, you understand, you know, basic listening skills, things that, you know, that you're listening, you follow God's prompting. How many ever played Simon Says as a kid? Right. Simon Says, raise your hand. Okay, put it down. Nah, just kidding. All right, so but I listen and I respond. The small, still voice. And what I'm praying is that the people that you began praying for, that now you'll begin to listen and you'll hear a small, still voice that'll give you maybe something that says, hey, that person right there just needs a kind word. This person over here just needs somebody to love them or to let them know that they matter. You know, I feel like I live my life so many times, I'm so busy and I'm so focused and I have this agenda I have to go, but I try. I'm learning and I'm growing, but as I walk through the halls, whether it's our staff or employees or families or whoever, or after church or before church, the opportunity that I don't let my focused agenda not allow me to listen and pause and to hear people's story or people's hearts. And you know, the stages of listening that was identified this way: level one is listening just to hear information. What's the agenda? What's the schedule? Just level one listening. Level two is this listening to respond, like, okay, hurry up and stop talking so I can tell you what I want to tell you. Come on now. Level three is this listening to understand, to connect, to empathize, that I pay attention and I hear and I listen to people. In that book back there, it gives you some very practical ways on how to have strong listening skills, but probably the biggest one for me, and I'm just being honest, is being present. Put down the phone. Come on, somebody. Turn off the TV. Focus my eyes. Open my ears. Being present. But I want you to understand, you carry with you living water, and the people around you are thirsty. And there's nothing more loving I can do than listen to people. That I can hear them. You know, this quote here that there's a book, and it counted every time Jesus asked a question. And in the Gospels, Jesus asked 307 questions, and he only answered three of them. He asked these questions and he listened. It's clearly part of Jesus's way of loving people around him was to ask questions, to listen, and to do the same. Why? Because when you're a blessing, you begin in prayer, you're praying, you're listening to God, but then you begin to listen to people. You care about them and their world and their life. You might be going through the worst thing in your life, but you still can allow the Spirit of God to work through you, listening and loving people. And so would you stand with me? I want to just pray over you. And like I said, my heart, my prayer is that this series is only an igniter to your faith, that it's a kickstart to being a blessing and living your life on purpose and on mission, carrying the living water to people that are thirsty. I have just two statements that have a question attached to them. And I don't know if, do we have them up here? These two statements. Yes. The first thing is, understand this, God wants to speak to you. The question, are you what? Are you listening? That God wants to refresh your soul. God wants to fill your soul. God wants to allow living water to pour through you. But God wants to speak to you. The question is, are you listening to him? And the second thing that I would encourage you with is this, that God wants others to experience him. Are you listening to them? So God, this morning, as we close this worship moment out, God, I pray again that you will just put on our hearts those people that are our neighbors, those that are close proximity, those that are around us, whether it's family, friends, acquaintances, work friends, whatever, those that are around, that God, that you'll help us identify the people that you're asking us to pray for. And I know the next three messages are going to bring this to some practical application from that. But God, I pray that it'll start by hearing your voice. And that, Lord, that we'll be people that will listen and that we'll carry your living water. And this morning as we close, I just want to pray for a refreshing. I don't know if, you know, just with your eyes closed, your head bowed. I so sense in my spirit that there are people here under the sound of my voice or will be listening to us online later that God, that you want to refresh their soul. they're thirsty. God, they're anxious. They feel dry. They feel far from you. If all of you would just put your hands out in front of you, just your palms up. God, we just take a posture of surrender. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit this morning, that you will fill hearts and spirits to overflowing. Lord, whatever maybe they carried in, we have our hands open and empty to receive from you today. And Lord, I pray for strength. God, I pray for encouragement. God, I pray that you'll fill. Lord, the hurts, the emptiness, the dryness. God, for some, their marriage is dry. Their life feels empty. Their children, they're at conflict with them. Lord, we just pray that today that, Lord, your living water, you'll set people free. Addictions be broken. We release that so that it can be living water. Loneliness be filled with your presence and your Spirit, Lord, today. Hurts surrender so that you can heal. A God that hears, come on somebody, and a God who heals. He hears and he heals. God, I thank you today that you're healing hearts and souls and you're filling or with a living water today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.